Talking about keeping Christ in Christmas, the Lord put on my heart last week to do a kind of a mini-series to just remind us this time of year, December, the hustle, the bustle, and the busyness of life, to not get caught up in it, you know, not to just feel like we're caught in the rapids and just move down and, you know, as I said last week, get to that point where, oh, thank God it's January 2nd or 3rd and we're past all that. No, that we can truly enjoy this season because God has given us this season to remind us of the birth of Christ. And so we never want to forget that. We always want to be reminded of the birth of Christ. So last week we talked about why Christ came, the birth of Jesus. You know, he came to redeem us. So we certainly, as Christmas comes, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's important. But how much more important it is the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ for us who believe. For it's the power of the gospel. And so why Christ came is to save us, to redeem us, to forgive us of our sins. So we looked at that last week. And this week I want to talk about why you give. Why we're giving people. This is Christmas, right? Wrapping presents and thinking and going shopping and going to the mall. Guys, huh? We love the mall, right? Especially Cool Springs area this time of year is a place you want to avoid, right? It's like, Cool Springs. We go and we buy gifts and we don't want to get caught up. I want us to be reminded that a gift is something that shows love. When you share a gift with someone, you're showing them that you love them, you care about them. Some of you ladies yesterday morning heard about a bad gift that I had given to my wife. And I continue, after 26 years of marriage, to apologize for that major mistake. But we want to show that we love. And so giving. This time of year, we give. But we want to know why we give. Why do we give? You know, what's the reason? Why is Christmas time a time for you give a gift, I get a gift? Type of thing. So it's not just, you know, the marketing. There's a reason behind it. And so we're going to look at that. And then next week, we're going to remember how time flies. I want to prepare us for that because I don't know about you. I'm 50. And I feel like 2015 just started last week. And here we are closing out the year. And so time flies and we need to do things in our lives to try to what? Slow down and smell the roses. You know, Lou and I were talking last night, and it just seems like this year has just gone by. Every Christmas, we have certain things we like to do and get together with different people, and it just seems like this year, it was hard to find spots to fit in our schedules, in all of our schedules, time to get together and spend time with each other. So time we'll talk about next week, and then Christmas Eve service, certainly, talking about Jesus Christ and his birth. And so this is what we're talking about, is putting Christ in Christmas, helping us to endure the remaining days that we have before Christmas and enjoy these times, and enjoy these times. And sometimes we just need to breathe. Sometimes we just need to sit back and relax. Someone this morning showed me, I don't know if you saw it this morning, the sunrise this morning. Did anybody catch it? Someone this morning caught it several times on their phone. What a beautiful sunrise. And it's like, I missed another one, right? I mean, it's gone. And so we see that these things are happening so quickly. So how many of us in this room come to church every single Sunday when we're in town or when we're available? We come to church every single Sunday. We go to Bible studies maybe during the week, or we get together with friends and other believers and certainly have time of fellowship together. Or maybe you listen to Bible teachings, you know, bot radio or different things, you know, in a cassette or a CD or an MP3 player or whatever, or even online, get some good Bible teaching. Or how many of us in the morning or evening or sometime throughout the day do 1, 2, 3, even maybe more devotions? All of these things that are pouring into us the Word of God, the truth of God, the power of God. And I quite honestly say, we're filled up to our ears with the truth. And we're filled with the truth for what? Are we doing something with that truth? Okay, you come every Sunday, you hear the Word of God. You pray, you read your devotions, you get together with other believers. What is that doing to you? Is it motivating you to do something? And this is what I kind of look at when I think about giving. If we're being equipped by God, he's equipping us, what? To go do something. Jesus says, I came to give you life and that life more abundantly, and I'm telling you to go and make disciples. Are you going? Are you doing? Is there something you're investing in? So much going into you, what is coming out of you? What is coming out of you? If what's going in you is transforming you, what's coming out of you should be of value, of eternal value. You know, the church is about equipping believers to do, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. This church is here to equip you with the truth of the Word of God, but not to leave you there. Not to get fat and so that you can memorize Scripture, but that you have it hidden in your heart so that you can apply it not only to your own life, but to the life of those others that are struggling or going through difficult times. How many of us know that the wisdom that we have in our heads, if it's not biblical, is it has no value for other people? I can share with you my experience, and that might minister to you in some way. But if I share with you what the Word of God has done in my life, that will be something that will really impact your life. You know, when Lou and I got saved back in the early 90s, you know, we're the kind of people that we just do. You know, we're going to do something, we're going to do it with all of our hearts. And so we got saved, and some of our friends were like, this is another one of those fads they're just going through. But when it comes to faith, it was different. For Lou and I, we got saved, and we grew in the Lord, and we went to a Bible-teaching church. It happened to be a Calvary Chapel. I was blessed to enter into the church through Calvary Chapel. I'm thankful for that. But Lou and I didn't just sit around. No, we were investing. We got involved in couples ministry early in the church, and we're involved in that, and we would always have people over at our house for lunch or dinner. My wife's an amazing host, and she always loved opening her house. We had a pool in our backyard in South Florida. We'd have pool parties in the afternoon. It was always getting together. But the thing is, with us, you know, we would pray with our friends. We would pray for our friends. We were ministry. God got a hold of our hearts quickly, and we did something with it. Are you doing something with your faith? Are you here today and getting something? Or are you here today to do something or to give something to someone else? See, it's a mindset. It's something that we need to be thinking about every single day, not just on Sunday mornings. As you wake up in the morning, certainly don't on Sunday morning, just, I'm going to church and I hope I can minister to someone. That's great. But every single day, do that. Maybe it's ministering to a coworker. Maybe it's ministering to your boss. Maybe it's ministering to your employees, your neighbors. Opportunities are before us. See, the giving heart, God started, didn't he? John 3:16, if we all don't know that verse by heart, we should. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What's the motivation for giving? From God, it's love. For God so loved the world, he gave. And when we give, we need to give from an attitude of love. I would imagine almost every one of us in this room have given a gift to someone because we knew they were going to give us something. Or we were going to get something in return. That's not the heart. The heart of giving is to give and want nothing in return. It's not easy for us, though, as humans. We want something in return. But we need to be motivated by love. Jesus, when he sent out the 12, he commanded them this in Matthew 10:8. Rob, if you'd put it overhead. Look at this verse. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Look at that verse for a moment, and I want you to ask yourself this question. When you see that verse, do you think those are things God can do? God certainly heals the sick. God certainly cleanses the lepers. God certainly raises the dead. And God certainly casts out demons. But notice this verse says, you do that. He's telling his disciples to go out and to do these things. I would love to see every single person in this church think about, I could heal somebody. I could pray for someone and see healing. I read a story of a man in the UK was teaching on the power of God and the ability for God to raise the dead. Somebody had a heart attack in his church. He got up, prayed over the man, the guy came back to life. I mean, if you want to talk about powerful application, right? Do you believe you can raise someone from the dead? Do you believe God can? If God can, you need to believe that you can with the power of God in you. I'm standing before you because God answered some prayers in this room. God raised me from the dead. And I want us to see this verse with the power that we've been given, the power from the Holy Spirit to believe that we can heal ourselves and that we can heal others. Who in your life is struggling right now? Who in your life needs to be healed? I know there's three people, at least in this church, that aren't here this morning because they're not feeling well. They're sick. It's like, do we start by praying and laying hands on them and asking for healing? This is, my friends, the way we do this. We must believe that we can do it. Do you believe God can? Then you should believe you can too. And when the opportunity comes up, I hope this verse comes back into your mind. Say, I'm going to pray a prayer of faith. Freely you've been given the power to do it. Now freely give it out. Use it. When you utilize it, guess what? You're going to love using it. You're going to love giving this gift. So how do we keep Christ in Christmas to this year? This week we're going to talk about giving, and that's why I have you in Acts chapter 20. Look with me, if you will, at verse 32. He says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Now give me your attention. The great thing about this verse, verse 35, this is the only recording in the Bible of Jesus saying this. It's not going to be found in the Gospels. This is a recording that someone heard Jesus say this, and he is reminding them, Luke is reminding them, remember what Jesus said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, we got to be careful with this verse because we can get super spiritual on it, and we can tell people, hey, I don't want anything. It's more blessed for me to give than to receive. Do you know people like this that don't want to be blessed? See, Jesus doesn't say it's bad to receive. We all love to get gifts. God loves to give gifts to us. So there's nothing wrong with receiving. So if someone wants to bless you, receive the blessing. Receive the gift. Be thankful for it. But Jesus is saying it's more blessed. It's greater blessing come into your life if you're a giving person. And to realize this and to allow those things to flow out of us, to be loose with the things that we have, the stuff that's been given to us by God that is available to him to use, is more blessed to give. And if you truly think about it, it is a blessing to give, isn't it? When you give someone a gift or you give someone something as a token of appreciation, not for a birthday, not for Christmas, just, I was thinking about you. You ladies do this all the time. You go shopping and you're constantly looking at things, oh, that reminds me of so-and-so. Please tell me my wife's not the only one. Or this show, oh, this looks just like so-and-so. I'm going to get that for her. She's always thinking about how ways she can give to others. And if you've experienced this, it's an amazing blessing. But here's the thing. It's a blessing to the recipient, but it blesses the socks off of my wife that she's able to give in that way. And this is the reality of this verse that we're looking at. It is more blessed to give than receive, to see someone's face light up. You know, my wife's face didn't light up when she opened the T-shirt. I knew I was in trouble. So it's like, ooh, this is not more blessed to give than receive at the moment. The reality is, it's a blessing to see. I spent time. I want to ask you this. This is Christmas time, and we're wrapping gifts for friends, family, right? Do me a favor. God reminded me of this morning. When you wrap a gift for someone, pray a prayer over that gift. Think about the power of a gift that you spent time, you spent money, you spent resources, you're going to wrap it, probably in the middle of the night when you're tired. But it's like when you wrap it, pray for this gift to impact the person, pray for that person, for their life to be changed. Not that the gift's necessarily going to change their life, but that God would change their life through that. Wow, can you imagine? Do you have a lot of gifts that you have to wrap? Are you overwhelmed? Think of all the prayer that you'll get in. I mean, come on. What a bonus. What a blessing. Does anybody in here like to rap? See, I love to rap. I do all the rapping at our house. My wife does the bows and the tags and the stuff I don't like doing. But I love rapping. It's like geometry to me. It's like, okay, I got to figure out the right size piece of paper. When my wife raps, she looks at the box, she goes like this, makes a cut. I go, you don't even know what size. Put the box. And then she has to cut extra off. It's like, that's a lot of extra work. You got to plan it out. That's why I wrap them. That's why I wrap them. Yeah. I'm leaving the country for a couple days, so I should be good. She'll forget, hopefully, by the time I get back. That's funny. Be careful. Listen, pray over the gifts. Remember Again, remember why you're giving. Because it's an expression of love. Because it's a more blessed to give someone something than to receive something. That's what we're talking about this morning. I want to show this video. This is a commercial that's playing this year. I think it's this year. It's a Walmart commercial with the Salvation Army. Have you seen it with the kids? And they ask the kids, would you rather get a gift or would you rather give up a gift to give a gift to someone who can't get a gift? I know it's staged, all right? I mean, but let's hope there's some kids that believe this. And let's ask ourselves, do we believe this? So can we show that commercial? Love that kid. Biggest toy in the store. I love it. I love it. Happy Merry Christmas. I love that kid with the big toy. I mean, that's like, yes, go for it, man. Go for it. But ask yourself, would you give up a gift to give to someone else? I would hope we would all say yes. I mean, if we have the heart of the Lord, certainly. We have so much, don't we? I mean, there's a lot of us, maybe there's some of us in this room think, well, I could use some things, and I understand that. But we are blessed, and if we have the heart to give to others, I think we're communicating the heart of God, the love of God, and to really truly say, I'd rather give than receive. Because Jesus says it's more blessed to give than receive. Now, three things real quickly I want us to look at. What Paul says here in verse 34, he says, yes, you yourselves know that these hands, and Paul, as he's saying this, is showing these hands have provided for my own necessities. Paul's saying, I work hard to make sure my needs are met. And in order to give, let's say this, we need to make sure we work hard for ourselves, to provide for ourselves, so that you have something to give. You see what I'm saying? We all work hard, we all do a lot, but are we having the mindset, I'm working hard so that I have the ability to give? I think sometimes we have this mentality that when the need comes up, I hope I have the resources. That, to me, that's backwards. Let's plan. I'm going to have the resources so that when a need comes up, I can meet it. And I think that's what the heart of the Apostle Paul is saying. I'm providing for my own needs. And I want to even provide for others. See, the mentality for some people is work really hard and get everything you can get out of life for yourself. Not so for the Apostle Paul. Paul said, I'm going to work hard so that my needs are met and so that I have leftovers for others, so I can bless others. And so working hard is important. In fact, if you flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we see this Paul talking to the Corinthians, this very same thing. And we've seen this verse before, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to come back to Acts 20 in a moment. Starting in verse 6, I want you to see this. The Bible is very clear about working hard. The Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. It's that simple. Well, look what Paul says to the Corinthians in verse 6. It says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So he's using an agricultural illustration to say, listen, you put a lot of seed in the ground, you're going to get a lot of harvest. You put a couple seed in the ground, you're only going to get a small harvest. It's the same principle in our lives. We work hard, we're going to get a great return. The harder we work, the more we're going to get in return. So do you want to reap bountifully or do you want to reap sparingly? That's how you determine that. Verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his own heart. This is not a pressure thing. I'm not going to convince you to give in your own heart what God is showing you. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to, look at this, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Sometimes we think, well, if I give, then I won't have enough for myself. That is so wrong. God loves a cheerful giver, someone who is willing to give. I have experienced this in my life. Early on in my relationship with my wife, we have been giving people. When we found out someone had a need in our friends, we said, can we meet it? And I ask you that same question. When you hear about a need, either in the church or in your friends, do you think, boy, I'm going to pray that someone meets that need? Or do you pray, God, can I meet that need? There's something about being willing to give, cheerfully give, because God loves a cheerful. Don't give to God begrudgingly. God doesn't accept it. God wants you. Has God not done amazing things for you? Has God not blessed your life? Then be a giver because he's a giver. And here's another principle about God that I love so much. You can't outgive him. Try to bless God more than he blesses you. I challenge you there. Try to do it. You'll never be able to do it. You'll never be able to do it. He says here in, at the end of this verse, it says, you may have an abundance for every good work. You're going to have extra. When you give, if you have that heart, God's going to see that, and he's going to say, I can use this person because they are giving person, and if I give them more, they're going to help others. You're going to have an abundance for every good work, more than you need. That's what it says in Malachi. You know, bring the whole tithe in the storehouse so that you have enough. In fact, it'll overflow. God is that way, my friends. Abundantly in every good. The ministry, this ministry, can only give abundantly if the people sitting in the seats give abundantly. We can't give what we don't have. So as a church, as a group, if you're giving abundantly, if you're giving graciously, then we can do the very same thing. As a ministry, we work together. We got to do it as a team. There's a study out that says if all people tithed, every church building, every ministry would be funded within 2 years if every single person gave the tithe. In 2 years. We look at the church today and we're like, oh, they don't have any money. Oh, they struggle. Listen, we got a lot of phone calls from people all the time at our church asking us, can you pay for our electric bill? Can you pay our rent? It's like we always ask, what have you done? What have you done to meet your needs? Some of them are honest. I just call churches. It's like we can't give to those that aren't willing to work, aren't willing to do something for themselves. I was talking to he's not a young man anymore. I was talking to a friend from back in Florida some months ago, and he struggled with drug addiction for many years. And we were talking about trying to get him maybe out of his atmosphere, out of his surroundings, and get him into this area to try to get him on his feet. So I was on the phone with him, and I was talking, and I said, well, tell me what you've tried. Tell me what you've done to try to get out of your situation. He says, well, I went to this ministry, but I left there in about 2 days. And I tried this program, but after about a week, I left that program. Because I really, he said this, he goes, because I didn't really like the people that were in that program. I go, what people? He goes, I just didn't like that kind of crowd. I go, you mean the same kind of people that you are? You don't like the people that you are? And I said to him, I said, listen to me. And here in my heart, I love this guy. I mean, he's like a son to me. I was like, this isn't going to be an easy fix. It took you a lot of years to break your life. It's going to take a lot of work to fix it. And if you're not willing to put in the effort, if you're not willing to go to this ministry because they're going to make you work, then guess what? You're not going to come up here and sit on my couch and do nothing and think you're going to get healed. So there has to be a level of desire to want to do something and to do what's hard. So when we give to others, we've got to make sure we evaluate that. So Paul was of the heart, listen, I want to give, I want to provide for my own needs, but he goes on one more, doesn't he? Go back to Acts chapter 20, he says, but I also want to provide for the needs of others. The rest of verse 34, and for those who are with me, those who are with me. Listen to me. I look around this room, and I see faces of men and women who are with me in life. You understand? Who are willing to invest their life into my life. They're willing to walk with me and be with me no matter what. They're not going to judge me. They're with me. And Paul is saying, listen, I'm going to work hard and provide for my own needs, and I'm going to help those who are with me, who are in the same place, not those that are going to take advantage. The reason we don't give, you know the number one reason we don't give? because we've been manipulated at some point or another. Whether it's a church, whether it's some other kind of ministry or some kind of, we've been manipulated out of our money. I don't know if it's a TV show or a commercial or a call or someone just at the door, knock at the door. I don't know about you. When that guy knocks at the door about the magazines, I'm like, man, is it a real need or is it just somebody that wants my money? Have you noticed this year, if you listen to Christian radio or maybe you hear things, it just seems like everybody's talking about if you give, your donation will be doubled. Have you heard a lot of this? Double donations. And it's like rampant everywhere. My question is, are they true double donations? In other words, if you give $100 to this ministry, so-and-so is going to give an extra $100 to the ministry. And I'm thinking, if somebody wants to give you money, why do they have to make it, you know, why does there have to be stipulations to it? If I want to give somebody some money, I'm going to give them some money. I'm not going to say, well, if you can raise $100, I'll give you $100. And I feel like it's just manipulation. And we've been manipulated out of our money, so we're hesitant to give. My friends, when it comes to Paul, he's saying, if you're with me, if you're walking with me, if I understand your character, if I understand your quality of life, I'm going to be giving to you. I'm going to help support your ministry, your life as well. Like I said, as I look around this room, I see people that are with me and that I've invested in. And I've given to people who've taken advantage. Some people just want to hang around you because you can give them something. And we need to be careful with that. But if you know someone who has a true need, I wonder, are there single moms in your life that you know of that could use some help this year? Would you help? Do you know any? Do you know anybody in need? Is there a family that's struggling? You know, to hear about someone who can't afford a Christmas tree or can't afford presents for their kids. And if you have an abundance, if you have an extra, let's give. Let's be giving to others. Let's consider the people that are in our lives so that we can give to them. Because I believe that is the reason that we are celebrating Christmas, because God gave to us. We're remembering why we give, because it's more blessed to give than receive. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he said, I've given you an example. I'm your Lord and I'm your master and I've washed your feet. Now you go do it too. Are we doing what he tells us to do? Jesus says, you're blessed if you do this. Are we washing, not necessarily washing each other's feet, but are we doing things for each other, providing for each other? And there has to be a level of transparency in our lives as well. If you have a need and don't communicate it, how are we able to meet it? How can someone help you? Certainly God knows, but you got to communicate it. When you give, try to give without strings attached. None of us like to give a gift and see that it's abused. None of us like that. But if we're giving a gift and then we're offended by the way it's being used, then it's not truly a gift, is it? A gift belongs to someone else. So no strings attached. Don't do stuff for someone so that you'll get something back. That's always the hassle. That's always the trouble in the days we live. So Paul provided for himself, he provided for others. But look at verse 35. And this, you know, this time of year, certainly. But look what the Bible says. Verse 35 says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. Does it sound gray to anybody else? You must support the weak. Now, who are the weak? Does that mean just someone who's lazy? Someone that doesn't want to provide for themselves? No. The weak are those who have a true need in their life. Those are the ones that Paul's going to meet. Supporting the weak. This is what we do. We support those who have a true need. You never want to help anyone that won't try and help themselves. Ever. Matthew 19:21. Rob, would you put that up for me? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. This young man comes to Christ, and he says, how can I inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, follow the law. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. The young man very confidently says, I've done all these things. Jesus says, okay, now go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. It's the only person that ever left Jesus sorrowful, because his possessions were the most valuable. And Jesus knew that. if we're willing to be blessed by God, we need to be willing to give according to God's grace and his mercy. The question is, will God show us? Will God guide us? Will God direct us? If we ask for the power, I believe, of the Holy Spirit to show to us and reveal to us the needs, we give so much in this country. But are we giving effectively? Are we giving according to God's plan? Interesting thing in verse 33 of Acts chapter 20, Paul's talking about coveting. When you talk about coveting, the best way to deal with coveting is to be a giving person. If you struggle with coveting, if you struggle with looking what other people have and why you don't have that, or they have all these things, and oh, no, it's so easy for them to be Christians because they're just, all their needs are provided for. Trust me. You don't know the walk they've walked. And coveting is dealt by giving. Freely you've been given, freely give. God has given to us so much. So I ask you this year, provide for yourself, provide for others, and look for opportunities to support the weak. It's good things to do as Christians. But let's make this year the year that we give with the right heart, because truly it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Amen? Let's make sure this Christmas doesn't zip by without the right heart. Father, we thank you for your word today. And we pray, Lord, that as we consider these things, as we consider the idea of giving and the atmosphere that Christmas brings with it, that, Lord, help us not to think that this is the only reason Christmas is for. That Christ didn't come into this world so that we could have pretty trees, beautiful gifts. He came to save us. Came to redeem us. And I think Blake said it earlier, the greatest gift ever given to us was Jesus. So I pray, Lord, that we would unwrap Jesus in our hearts this morning. That we would be givers. That we wouldn't hold on to the things that we have too tightly. I know people in my life, God, that I would give everything I have to them because I love them. Because what I own is yours. And so I pray that we would have that heart. I pray that we would have that mindset this year. That when a need arises, that we'll ask ourselves, can I meet that need? So God, use us. Bless us. For we acknowledge this morning that it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. We love you, Lord. Be with us as we go from this place. Let us be mindful of your ways. Use us, Lord. Even just this day, use us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.